I was out with MOAS, which is a migrant offshore aid station in Greece, and I went out there as a volunteer, and I was a volunteer rescue swimmer, which is quite an unusual role to play. But my background was obviously the Coast Guard here and there, and I had just about enough of watching these disasters playing out in the television, and I thought, I'm going to do something about that. I have a skill, and I'm going to use it, you know. So that's what I did. I just headed straight out and got into it, you know.
And what's the reality like for people over there and for people that are going through this?
The reality is absolutely horrific. It's a mess out there. It has to be said that MOAS take a very neutral role. There's no politics involved in it. We take the role of basically going out there and rescuing people who are in trouble, who are in the water or who are sinking. So the reality is, the horror of it is that people are dying every single day in a place that most of us go on our holiday, Greece. And just to give you a kind of idea of that, you know, when I was on watch up on the bridge, I thought one morning, I thought I'll do a 360 spin, look round with binoculars and see if I can not spot any life jackets. And I did that, and I did it three times, and every single time I lifted the binoculars, I was looking at hundreds of life jackets. And each one of those life jackets is a person. A kid or an old person or someone who's disabled. It's absolutely horrific out there.
I'd imagine a lot of these things stay with you. You know, what are some of the sort of things that, you know, catch you in the back of the throat when you think about them?
Well, I think the things that you remember and you don't forget are the screams of people about to die. Babies and mothers are screaming. When you take a small child, baby, from its mother, and she's in the boat that's going down, that's a horrific moment. And you'll never hear a scream like that, you know. And curiously, the children just shut up. They go in a sort of shock, probably is shock, and so you have that. That's a memory that won't leave, you know. And the amount of people, you know, in such trouble, and it always happens at night, you know. And people think, oh, the Mediterranean and the Aegean. We were out in the Aegean. And they think, oh, it's lovely out there, nice calm seas, but it's not in the winter time. In the winter time, it's as bad as air front, you know, in a good storm. It always happens at night. So it's terrifying, terrifying personally. So I have no idea what it must have felt like to entire families out there. It's in a terrible situation.
Now, you've obviously seen firsthand how desperate these families are. Do you think that's what it is? It's desperation that's driving them to put themselves in these perilous conditions.
People are absolutely desperate. They are not welcome in Turkey. They're not allowed to earn a living or gain any work. They've been pushed out of Syria. Everybody's bombing Syria at the moment, trying to get rid of Assad. Bar the Russians, and their houses have been reduced to powder. That's the reality of it. They are starving. They had, it's like us with maybe our life savings under a pillow, and they think, well, let's go. And they lift what they can in little bags, and they go. And the smugglers take full advantage of them. And The last rescue we did, we interviewed one guy, and he said he had paid $3,000 each for his family, and the babies were still $3,000. So they spend every penny they've got just trying to escape. They're absolutely desperate. They're starving. And it's just worth noting that while we were there, it wasn't all rescues. We did probably about five boats, I was involved in. But we also did transfers from desert islands. And you think to yourself, a desert island in Greece? How weird is that? But the truth is that of the 6,000 islands in Greece, only 227 of those islands are actually inhabited. And the migrants come across and they land on a desert island. And it hasn't been done yet, but I'm sure there are people dead on those islands. So part of MOAS's duty was to go out and try and get these people off these little rocks in the middle of the Mediterranean.
Now, how long were you there for, and is it something that you would go back and do, or are you just too haunted by the experience?
Well, I was there for 3 weeks. Would I go back and do it? Yes, probably I'm going to go back. Whether it's in that capacity or not, I don't know. Coming up, I'm 52 years old. Probably I'm too old for it now. Having seen it, I think you're haunted by it and you want to go back and you want to do something to help, because really at the end of the day it's human beings.
Now, we've all heard some of the opinions of people that, you know, we shouldn't be bothering, we should be looking after our own rather than looking after other people. Do you think, what would you say to people that, you know, think we can just ignore these people in such desperate times?
Well, you know, it happened to us at not too far away, Clydebank, during the war. People were bombed out of existence and came walking down the shore trying to find places in Largs maybe to stay, or Salkuts or Ayr. You've got to put yourself in their position, and you've got to realise, I've heard people referring to these people as rats abandoning sinking ships and those kind of analogies, and that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's pure racism. I don't know how they get away with it on Facebook, and really the police should be involved in that those kind of statements. But these are decent human beings. They're well educated, perfect English, most of them. They're taxi drivers, they're doctors, they're nurses, radio presenters, photographers, a whole gamut of people. Just take Ayr, for instance, and bomb it to bits and then see what people would do. And that's a really important message that I want to get out. And that's a bit that makes me angry, you know. Politically, what you do with people, that's a whole different ballgame. But we don't let people die in the water. That's just inhumane and it's savage. And hearing comments like that is really disgusting stuff.
Yeah. What can we do to help? Obviously, you're going there and you're flinging yourself in the water to help these people. We kind of do that, but we must be able to do something.
Well, the very first thing to do is, I would have said, for folks, if you're concerned about the migrant crisis and you're concerned about people coming in, stealing jobs or whatever it is these folk are thinking, stop thinking like that. What we really need to do is we need to stabilise the situation down there. We need to help those that are needing help. And the politics need to get involved here and we need to start doing something. Now, to help right away, please help the charity MOAS. Go into their site, MOAS. You can donate a few pounds. Eventually, we'll run out of money. And that means people will drown. The dynamics are changing day by day down there. But please don't fear migrants or that really are refugees. They're fleeing from a horrific situation. And it just so happens that this time round, it's not in the middle of Africa. This time round, it was near Syria, it's near Europe. And that's the only option they had. They're not spongers. They're not after dole money, handouts. They just want to lead a life in peace, like we do, and we're very privileged to do that. MOAS is a fantastic charity. They did something when others were doing nothing. And they went down there and they really showed the world, you know, what was actually happening. And don't forget, we go there on our holidays. It's only 3.5 hours away. And, you know, it's happening right on our doorstep. It's not happening a million miles away. It's on our doorstep. And we shouldn't be frightened of these things. We should deal with these things. And the first thing is deal with life and preserving life.